Her name was Billie Burke. She was a famous actress, and she was on a transatlantic ocean liner where she noticed a gentleman who was sitting at the table next to her, and he was suffering from a bad cold. And so she asks him sympathetically, "Are you uncomfortable?" And the man kind of nodded his head. And then she said, "I'll tell you just what to do for it. Go back to your stateroom, drink lots of orange juice, take 2 aspirin, cover yourself with as many blankets as you can find. Sweat out the cold." See, I know just what I'm talking about. I'm Billie Burke from Hollywood. The man, he smiled warmly, and he introduced himself in return, and he says, "Thank you. I'm Dr. Mayo of the Mayo Clinic." Now, Billie Burke, she didn't really know who it was she was talking to at that time, did she? And I'm afraid that's the way many people approach Christmas today. They set up their manger scenes. They sing their Christmas carols. But they don't really know the Christ that they are singing about. Well, Isaiah, he was a prophet, and he probably knew the Christ better than anyone else. And he lived some 700 years before Jesus was even born. In fact, Isaiah writes one of the best descriptions of Christ that you can ever read, and you just listen to it for 2.5 minutes. It's found in Isaiah chapter 9 at verse 6, and it says, "For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You see, one name just isn't enough to describe Jesus. And so Isaiah uses 4 different names. And for these 4 weeks, before we get to Christmas morning, as we go through our Advent, Pastor Frank and I would like to take a closer look at each one of those. Today we're going to look at Wonderful Counselor. See, Isaiah first called Jesus a Wonderful Counselor. Now the word wonderful, it means unique, different, separate from the ordinary. It means extraordinary. Well, that's exactly what Jesus' counsel is like. It's beyond the normal. It's well worth listening to. You see, if you want the best advice that you can get, then I urge you to listen to Jesus' supernatural counsel. Pay attention to Christ's advice, which is literally out of this world. Now, Lisa Owens, she was facing knee surgery. She was a bit nervous about it all, and so she asked her boss, who was a veterinarian, if he had any particular advice for her. And he's very comforting, and without any hesitation, he told her, "Turn your worries into prayers. Get plenty of rest. And don't lick your incisions." You see, now that may be great advice and great counsel for an animal. It's probably not the best advice for a person, the best counsel for a human. In some cases, maybe it works, but in Isaiah chapter 55, at verses 5 and 7, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord." In other words, don't seek your own counsel. Don't follow your own advice. Come to the Lord. And why? Because as verse 8, which is the next verse in Isaiah chapter 55, at verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." His advice, his counsel is beyond anything that we could ever get from our own minds or even from our friends. It is wonderful. It is extraordinary. So listen. Pay attention to what Jesus has to say. Listen to his supernatural counsel. And even more than that, listen to his sure and his certain counsel. Pay attention to our Lord's advice, which never fails and is never wrong. Heed his words, which stand forever. No other counselor could ever make that kind of claim. But you know, God does. In Isaiah chapter 45 and verses 8 through 10, it says, "Remember this. Fix it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things of long ago? I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my promise will stand. Literally, my counsel will stand and I will do all that I please." See, what God says, He will do. You can stake your life on it. In fact, you can stake your eternal destiny on His word. Our Lord's counsel, it will stand, and it stands forever. Isaiah chapter 14 at verse 24 puts it this way. "The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, or counseled, if you will, so it will stand." And then why? At verse 27, it says, "For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart Him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back?" God is sovereign. He is in absolute control. So His counsel is absolute. It stands forever. God directs the circumstances of our lives, and so His advice, His counsel, it always works. Van Morris of Mount Washington, Kentucky, he went to the zoo with his daughter and his grandchildren, and they were at the orangutan exhibit. The only thing that was separating him and his family from those gigantic creatures was a pane of very thick glass, which was 20 feet tall. At first, Morris's grandson, Trevor, he was amused by the antics of the orangutan in the container there, until one of the hairy beasts suddenly began to beat on the glass. Trevor, he jumped into the arms of his mother and he was crying, I scared. His mother tenderly took him and placed his hand on the glass. She showed him that the glass shielded him from the animal, so that there was nothing to fear. Now afterwards, any time that Trevor seemed uncertain, his mom would simply say, "Remember the glass." Sometimes it seems that there is nothing that stands between us and the forces of evil that would try to knock us down and destroy us if they could. But God's word, it is just like that glass that protects us from those forces. And it can never, ever be broken. God's word says in 1 Peter chapter 1 at verses 5 and 6, "We are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now you for a little while may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." See, you can believe on it. You can count on it. It is God's sure and certain word. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5 at verse 10, it says, "The God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." In those times when you are afraid, remember the glass. Remember what God has said in His word. And then find the courage to keep moving forward and following Jesus Christ. If you truly want to succeed in life, then listen to His supernatural counsel. Listen to His sure and His certain counsel. And listen to His saving counsel as well. Pay attention to our Lord's advice, which will save you forever. Heed His word, which alone leads to eternal life. Now, if you trace the word counselor throughout the Old Testament, you will find that it often is used as a king's counselor, a king's advisor. King David, he had many such advisors, but none of them were as good Ahithophel. What a name for God. Now, I have to read through here, and that word's going to come up a few times, so have fun with it. Now, in those days, the advice Ahithophel gave was like that of one who inquires of God. That was how David regarded all of Ahithophel's advice. You see, King David, he highly respected Ahithophel's advice and his counsel. It was the kind of advice that had saved him many times in battle. The kind of advice that kept him alive and gave him many victories. Even so, David speaks of a counselor who is far greater than Ahithophel. In Psalm chapter 16, where David finds himself in a great deal of trouble, perhaps he is hiding from King Saul, who is raging with jealousy toward him and wants to kill him. Perhaps he's trapped out on the field of battle and he has nowhere to turn. Or perhaps he is running from the palace where his son Absalom has just done a successful coup attempt against him. We don't know the exact circumstances that David finds himself in this psalm. But we do know who David's counselor is. And in Psalm chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, it reads, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now, any good counselor could give David advice which would preserve his life in battle, but only the Lord can give him advice which will preserve his life forever, which will give him those eternal pleasures in eternity with God. You see, that counselor is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the wonderful counselor who saves us forever, anyone who will hear and believe his word. In Decision Magazine, several years ago, Nard Pagyao from the Philippines. I got all these really good names going and stuff today. Nard, what? No, not Pacquiao. P-U-G-Y-A-O. Lenny, how'd you say it? Pugyao, Pagyao, Pug... Okay, see, Filipinos, they can say it. Okay, I got some others coming up, so you can help me with these, okay? So Nard Pugyao, from the Philippines, he described the life-changing power of God's Word in his life. And he writes, in March of 1956, when I was about 6 years old, a tall, pale white man stumbled into my home village of Dibagat. Dibagat. Don't laugh at me, Lenny. Give me help here. She's going, I didn't even write it down. So in my home village of Dibagat, in the northern jungles of the Philippine island of Luzon, the man didn't speak our language. And so our elders asked him the best that they knew how, why are you here? I've come to learn your language, the man said. I'd like to write it down and then give you God's word in your language. Who is your God? The elders asked. He's the God who created the heavens and the earth, the man answered. He's the God that created the entire universe, and he created you too. Is he more powerful? The elders probed. More powerful than the spirits that have controlled our lives since the beginning of time? Is he more powerful than our ancestors, the headhunters? The man said, yes, he is far more powerful. Now, very hopeful, they started to teach this man, his name was Dikro, they started to teach this man their language. Maybe his God could free us from these spirits. When Nard was about 13, Dick had to return to the United States to raise more support for his ministry. But before he went back, He had translated the Gospel of Mark, and he gave Nard a copy of it. And while he was gone, Nard started reading the Bible for the very first time. Sitting on top of a rock, he would read the Gospel of Mark in his own language, and he said, it felt like I was actually there, seeing the characters. But the further he read, the more distressed he felt. A mob of people came to get Jesus out of the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he do wrong? Nard read as fast as he could. They accused Jesus of all kinds of false things. They mocked him. They spit on him. They beat him. They took him before Pilate. And then the scourge and the crown of thorns. It was excruciating for Nard to read that they forced Jesus to carry a wooden cross and then they nailed him to it. Nard says, deep in my heart, a hatred of God swelled. He shook his fist and he shouted, God, I hate you for being so powerless. Why should I believe in a powerless God like you? With all of his strength, Nard threw the Gospel of Mark down to the rocks and he started walking home. He couldn't understand why God could not even protect his own son. Our headhunters, they defend us to the death, he reasoned. Because of them, no one could touch us. Nard says, I wanted a God like that. One who could protect me from the spirits that demanded we sacrifice our cows and our chickens and our pigs, even our own dogs. This God, he couldn't even save his own son. And then suddenly, God reached down into Nard's heart. Nard, don't you understand? He heard God say to him, that's how much I love you. I gave my son on your behalf. For the first time, Nard says, I understood grace. I understood how much God loved me. God, if you love me that much, Nard prayed, I want to give you my life, my heart. It's all yours. And then he went back and he picked up the gospel and he brushed it off. And then he sat back down on the rock to see what happened next. It was an incredible moment as he read that Jesus rose from the grave on the third day. Nobody in all of Dibbagat, nobody from all of the Isnag people had ever risen from the grave. Nard says the resurrection story changed my life. You see, the resurrection story, which is closely tied to the Christmas story, it can change your life as well, if you care to hear it and to believe it. Jesus alone has the word of eternal life. Listen to the Roman road real quickly found in the Bible. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. That's because God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. And therefore, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. Four verses are all you need, and you can take someone down the Roman road to salvation. Now, maybe you've already accepted Jesus Christ. Then tell others about this gift, about the eternal life that Jesus offers. Use the words of the wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ, and his word, because they alone have the power to save. Now, someone once said that Socrates taught for 40 years. Plato taught for 50 and Aristotle for 40 years. And Jesus, he only taught for 3 years. Yet the influence of Christ's 3-year ministry infinitely transcends the impact that was left by the combined 130 years of teaching from these three men who are among the greatest philosophers of all antiquity. Jesus, he painted no pictures at all. And yet some of the finest paintings by Raphael, Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, they received their inspiration from him. Jesus, he wrote no poetry. And yet Dante, Milton, scores of the world's greatest poets were inspired by him. Jesus, he composed no music. And still Haydn, Handel, Beethoven, Bach, and Mendelssohn reached their highest perfection of melody in the hymns, the symphonies, and the oratorias that they composed in his praise. Every sphere of human greatness has been enriched by this humble carpenter from Nazareth. His unique contribution to the human race is the salvation of the soul. Philosophy could not do that, nor could art or literature or even music. Only Jesus Christ can break the enslaving chains of sin and Satan. He alone can speak peace into the human heart, strengthen the weak, and give life to those who are spiritually dead. And that is because he alone is the wonderful counselor. Listen to him. Listen to his supernatural, sure, and saving counsel. And then let it begin to change your life forever, like nothing else ever could.